Welcome to More in the Word, a podcast of Moore Theological College in Sydney, Australia, that seeks to glorify God through biblically sound, thought-provoking, and challenging talks and interviews. In this episode, from a final Friday chapel service held on Friday, the 21st of November, 2025, Mark Thompson, principal of Moore Theological College, speaks on John chapter 7, verses 14 to 53, and Jesus' invitation to come to him at the Feast of Tabernacles at Jerusalem. Mark reminds us that the only true source of living water is Jesus, who echoes the promises of God in his proclamation. When we respond and turn to Jesus, we experience a radical reorienting of life, health, and hope as the Spirit transforms us by uniting us to him. We hope you find the episode helpful.
Good morning. I was going to start up with something like water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink or something like that. But we don't need to because the weather has held off. Andrew's prayers are the prayers of a faithful man. But let's add to them. Let's pray together as we turn to God's word. This morning, Father, we thank you again for the year that you've given us, for the great joy it's been to be together and together to learn of you. And this morning, as we end this year, by sitting under your word again together, would you please speak to us? Would you address us, encourage us, and challenge us? Would we hear your voice and listen to you? And would our lives be changed as a result, we pray? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, they'd taken the same brief journey every day that last week. It was a high point of the year for them, really, like a little final Friday. The festival crowd, the family atmosphere, the joyful noise, the waving of branches, the singing and the prayers, arriving at the Pool of Siloam in the morning, watching the priest fill the golden flagon with water from the pool, not much, just about a litre by our measure, then held aloft by the priest, carried in procession from the pool, more branch waving, more singing, through the south gate of the temple precincts, up to the altar of sacrifice, where it all stops and everything goes quiet. There beside the altar is a silver bowl, and for a moment or two you could cut the air with a knife. Parents shush their children. The tension mounts, and then the high priest tips the flagon and the water dribbles gently down into the bowl. And at that moment, shredding that silence, comes one solitary voice booming across the temple courtyard. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's one of the moments of high drama in John's gospel, right up there with Lazarus, come out, and it is finished. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's a truly magnificent invitation when you think about it. It's open-ended. If anyone thirsts, it recognizes a deep need in every human soul. If anyone thirsts, and it lays before them the only truly satisfying answer, come to me and drink. The festival of booths or tabernacles was a reminder of the way God sustained his people during the wandering years in the wilderness more than a millennium before, when they were parched and desperate, afraid they would fall and die in that deserted place, living in makeshift tents and trudging around in circles. God had intervened and God had provided. In Exodus 17, Moses struck the rock and out of it gushed cool, refreshing water. But Moses did that at God's command, and everyone knew Moses was not the one who gave it. This was God at work. God the provider. God the source of life. God the nourisher. God the savior. And so a millennium later, as the water dribbled out from the flagon into the bowl, the crowd was challenged to remember that it was God who did it. He assuaged our thirst then, and he can do it again. We rejoice in what God has done, and we look forward to what God will do. And so at that moment, on the last and great day of the feast, when it was done perhaps with more pomp and ceremony than earlier in the week, it was at that most sacred moment in the silence that Jesus' words rang out. If you want the water that satisfies forever, if you're looking for the answer to that deep and unsatisfied thirst you can't explain, if you want the provision of God for life, come to me. And if you do, it won't just be enough for you. It will flow out from you to those around you. Rivers of living water, the river of life. Be thirsty no more. Come to me. That invitation of Jesus is recorded in John's gospel so that we might hear it and that we might extend it to those around us. For the deep, unsatisfying restlessness of life apart from God remains as real as it ever was. Often it's unacknowledged, of course, but the testimonies of those who appear to have it all keep rolling in. Having it all is not enough. There must be more than this. George Harrison, one of the Beatles, the landmark band of the 1960s and 70s, yes, I'm that old, that helped change the face of modern music, though, put it this way. When you've had all the experiences and met all the famous people, made some money, toured the world, and got all the acclaim, you still think, is that it? Is that it? None of it ultimately satisfies. It was Augustine who echoed that reality with his famous words at the beginning of his confession. Some of you will remember them. Addressing God, he wrote, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And what Jesus offered on that day and still does today is a radical reorienting of life and health and hope. Come to me. Well, there's so much going on in just those two sentences, and we'll touch on some of that in a moment. But above all those things, you and I need to hear and see and be reminded of the magnificence of what was happening at that moment. Jesus inviting fractured sinners like you and me, and anyone else who will come to drink from him, to drink the living water, the water that truly gives and sustains life. See, without water, you shrivel up and die. Without this living water, you die forever. But it's only yours, and it only flows out from you if you come to him. Three brief questions to ask ourselves this morning. How did we get here? What does this mean? How should we respond? So how did we get here? Those of you who've travelled with us through John's Gospel in chapel this year will know that Jesus had originally refused to go to this festival in Jerusalem. His brothers had insisted that the way to get noticed, to build your support base, to be an influencer, was to be in Jerusalem at the festival. Be seen there. Do some of your miraculous stuff there. That's the wise thing to do. That's how you build your movement. But Jesus had refused. He was not playing to their agenda. He let them go, and he went up to Jerusalem later, secretly, not publicly, with his own agenda, an agenda to teach and to save. So as the festival continued around him, Jesus was teaching in the temple precincts, and his teaching astonished those who heard him. They could hardly believe that someone who had not received any formal training, who'd never studied at the Jerusalem equivalent of Moore College, could teach like this. How did he come to know so much? How did he get to be so clever? And Jesus answered that his teaching is not his own, but rather belongs to the one who sent him, is not an answer that made any sense to them. And when he suggests there are those even then out to kill him, some just think him mad. Others are not sure. The questions of who Jesus is, where he has come from, what he's come to do, all continue to circulate around those who hear him. The opposition to him is ramping up. That's really clear. Even in the middle of this great religious festival, the chief priests and Pharisees dispatch officers to arrest him. And yet still people are asking, could this be the Messiah? As he comes each day to the temple and sits down and teaches those who gather around him, those questions continue. It seems that he was there again on the last great day of the feast when the great procession arrived and headed up to the altar. He was teaching those around him about the will of the Father who sent him. Of course, the noise of the approaching crowd would have arrived before they did, but soon those around him would all be swept up in the hustle and bustle of the procession. And then suddenly silence. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. That's how we got here, to the point at which Jesus uttered those remarkable words. But what do they mean? It seems obvious, but we keep forgetting that the words of Jesus don't just drop from the sky out of the blue. At point after point, Jesus' words echo the promises of God recorded for us in the Old Testament. For those at the time who knew their Old Testaments well, and I don't think for a moment that was everybody or even most of those who were there, but for us who read John's Gospel as part of a whole Bible, Old Testament and New, the echo of those promises help us to understand what he was saying. Not just the echo of Exodus 17 and the realization that God is the one who gives life and sustains it, but promises like that in Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. The promise of a great salvation that God will bring about includes an invitation to come in words that are strikingly like those of Jesus in the temple. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Everything else fades. Nothing else will ultimately satisfy. The alternatives are really empty. Come to me, hear, that your soul may live. And that promise was given again by the prophet Ezekiel, who announced God's words in chapter 36, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I'll cleanse you, and I'll give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. And once again, the promise of salvation, sin dealt with, a clean, fresh, new start, a dramatic change, clean, living water. And in that context, the promise of the Spirit of God transforming the lives of those who are saved. When Jesus speaks of thirst and water and something far better than anything they'd experienced before, no doubt he was evoking those promises. And some would no doubt have made the connection, perhaps not immediately, but at some point. And we, on this side of the cross and resurrection, with the whole Bible before us, are encouraged to make that connection from the start. I'm sure you noticed that when Jesus stood in the temple on that last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's no mention of him standing up with his own golden flagon of water. He was not just setting himself up as an alternative high priest with better water to pour out before them. The gospel writer John spells it out for us. And in so doing, he draws the lines between this moment and the great promises of Isaiah and Ezekiel in stronger, darker grades. This he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, in the end, Jesus was talking about more than the restless, unsatisfied thirst that he and he alone is the answer to. He was talking about new life, a life animated by the Spirit of God, fresh, overflowing, abundant life, which he is offering to all who will come to him. You see, the restlessness, the thirst, is a symptom of something far bigger, and the answer is bigger still. the rich life of the Spirit, which is, as Paul calls it, the first installment of the fullness of life that is to come. And even as the first installment, it's uncontainable. As one man put it, Christians are not just containers, they're conduits. As a spring overflowing from its source, like the rivers of water flowing out of the temple in the visions of the prophets and the picture of the river of life at the end, the life that Jesus gives is something that's meant to be shared. So how do we respond? On that day when Jesus interrupted the solemn ceremony in the way that he did, the reactions were varied. The questions about his identity continued. Is this the Christ? But the Christ won't come from Galilee, will he? And some believed. His words, John makes clear, created a division between people. Those prepared to come to him and those who preferred their own familiar but stale and stagnant water. And then we're told about a truly astonishing response by the officials who had been sent to arrest him. No one ever spoke like this man. His invitation got under their skin. Perhaps they were still not there yet, but they weren't prepared to arrest him. The division between those who hear the invitation and rejoice and those who are trapped in some way in their own tragic opposition to the only real source of life extended to the ruling authorities. Nicodemus, who'd come to Jesus by night in John 3, so no one would know, now makes a first tentative move towards a more public coming to Jesus. Shouldn't we give him a hearing and learn what he does? And if he didn't know it before, he's about to learn that coming to Jesus will mean going from those who to this point had been his colleagues, had given him status and recognition amongst the people. Friends, the invitation that Jesus gave that day in such dramatic circumstances was an invitation to life. It brought out into the open the emptiness and thirst that echoes right across the centuries and is epidemic in its proportions throughout our community. Family and friends frantically searching for peace and significance, or drowning in anxiety and despair because they're still trying to live apart from the only one who can give them rich, satisfying life. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It is an invitation that I trust you have embraced wholeheartedly. I trust that this morning you can rejoice that the thirst for meaning, purpose, value, and significance, which shows itself in so many different ways and in many different contexts, has been satisfied for you in him and the salvation he's brought to you. But I also trust that the Spirit Jesus was talking about when he made that invitation has so transformed your life by uniting you to the only true source of life, Jesus, and that from you, out of your heart, as Jesus promised, will flow rivers of living water. May that be true of you, not just today, not just throughout the summer break, but for the rest of your ministry. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you might write it on our hearts, that the great joy of knowing the one who gives living water might be something that animates us throughout our lives and pours out from us to those around us. Please do this miracle in us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for listening to More in the Word, a podcast of More Theological College. Our vision as a college is to see God glorified by men and women living for and proclaiming Jesus Christ, growing healthy churches, and reaching the lost. In 2026, More College is giving thanks to God for his faithfulness over 170 years. Please join us in praying for the college, and if you're in Sydney, please consider coming along to one of our events. We invite you to attend any of our upcoming events, including this one from the Centre for Christian Living.
As Christians, how interested and involved should we be in the political life of our society? Now, some of us couldn't be less interested in politics. We ignore it as much as we possibly can and try to just get on with what we see as the important aspects of living the Christian life and ministering to others. Others of us are really much more interested in politics. We dive right into the online debates, we keep ourselves informed, and we think that Christians have a real contribution to make politically. Now, which of these two kind of approaches is the more faithful Christian approach, or is it somewhere between the two? And why is it that when we do get involved in politics in some way as Christians, and we try to engage in the debate, we often feel that we don't fit in? We're not quite left, we're not quite right, we're kind of both and neither at the same time. Christians often feel marginal in the political life of our society and wonder where we fit. I'm Tony Payne, and we're going to be examining these questions at a Centre for Christian Living Ethics Workshop on Wednesday, May the 20th at Moore College, starting at 7 p.m. The title of the workshop is Left, Right, Out: The Strange Position of the Political Christian. And I do hope you'll join us to talk together about these important matters. You can get all the information, including how to register, at ccl.moore.edu.au. That's ccl.moore.edu.au. I do hope you can join us on Wednesday, May the 20th, for this important workshop.
You can find out more and register by going to the Moore College website, Moore, that's moore.edu.au. If you have not already done so, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast through your favorite podcast platform so that you'll never miss an episode. For past episodes, further resources, and to make a tax-deductible donation to support the work of the college and its mission, please visit our website at Moore, that's moore.edu.au. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and leave a review on your platform of choice. We always benefit from feedback from our listeners, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at comms, that's C-O-M-M-S, at moore.edu.au. The Moore in the Word podcast was edited and produced by me, Karen Bielhartz, and the communications team at Moore Theological College. The music for our podcast was provided by Mark July from Pixabay. Until next time.